Welcome to the good, the bad, and the sequel Q&A. My name's Doug. So the next sequel that we're going to be covering is one that we could put in the category of sequels we never knew existed, even though it just came out in 2019. And I'm talking How High 2. Definitely the movie, mostly lows, but some of the highs in there. It's got DC Young Fly, who I find hilarious. I feel like he's this generation's like Chris Tucker, and a total compliment. D-Ray Davis, who is an underrated comedic actor and a comedian. Oh my God, he has so many improvised lines in this movie that just, man, killed me. So funny. And Mike Epps in this movie. Very short scenes with him, but he's doing his best Pinky impression. If you've ever seen the movie Next Friday, in a way, I think it's a little homage to it. For it, I chatted with actress Susan Gallagher. Susan has a small but memorable scene where she screams where one of the lead actors, Roger, he's tied under a table. Mouth is duct tape. She sees him because he wakes up. She screams. And what's great is so many people reach out to her on social media and emailed her and said how believable that scene was. So, yeah, Susan was so cool. Her career, you know, she had a family. She did the thing of being a mom that, you know, moms and dads do. They take time off of work. She did it, but her career started way back with like Cop and a Half. She played Burke Reynolds' character's like former wife. The scenes never made it into the movie, but she was in that. Then she's being a mom. Safe Harbor, an Aaron Spelling show. She gets on that. Same thing. She's going back to being a mom. And she, what's great about her is her tenacity for the business and her love for the business, because it's so hard to stop anything and then get back to it. But in between this time, she's still training, doing acting classes. And she has some great stories about the connection she made with an acting coach that she had in New York City. I'll let her tell that story. It was pretty amazing. But then we talked about like some of the roles and her, again, back to her tenacity. She obviously had an agent, but then there were some roles that she put in for herself, like in Cobra Kai, her role of Lynn that she landed. You want to hear some wild stuff? Her role of Lynn, the way she got that is up there with some of my favorite interview stories of all time, not just on this podcast. You guys are going to love it. Like, there's so many different facets to it, and it was so much fun. We talked about some of the stuff that she has coming out. She's busy. Show Pickleball is Life, Deal With It. She said it's hilarious, so that'll be coming out soon. And, I just want to get to the interview. She's a Southern Belle. She's so funny. Do me a favor before I start the interview. Please like, share, subscribe. Follow us on all social media at Sequels Only. And without further ado, here's actress Susan Gallagher. To find out with folks, how it all began, but where it all began. So did you grow up? When I heard you speaking, when we were getting everything all set up, I can tell you're from the South. Are you from North Carolina?
I am. Yeah, the southern part.
I can hear it.
On the line of North and South Carolina and Charlotte, Gastonia.
Nice.
Yeah. I was the youngest of four children and was born in Charlotte and we lived there for a few years. And then my dad's family's business was in Gastonia. And so we moved to Gastonia and I lived there. I grew up there and then I moved back to Charlotte when I got older. And then, you know, I moved here, moved there.
So being the youngest, is that why acting became a thing? Because you needed to like ham it up to get people's attention? Was that something? I've noticed that with people I talk to, the youngest always has to like show out.
Well, I showed out, but I was a very rebellious child. So I was defiant. and so I showed out, but not in the best of ways. But I got my act together at a pretty young age. But it was quite a wild ride before that point. But my mother was in the entertainment industry since she was a little girl. She was a jazz musician and sang.
Oh, that's amazing. What instrument?
She had her own little radio show when she was in elementary school in Alabama outside of Birmingham. She opened for like Tony Bennett and Mel Torme and Dinah Shore.
Wow.
So she was a very talented woman, but then she started having a family and, you know, there's just not a whole lot of showbiz in Gastonia and Charlotte, especially back at that time. So I think I grew up with a little bit of a bud for the biz, because there was a
Yeah,
lot
especially you had it right in the house. Did you play a
of
lot at home?
yeah we you know there was a lot of showbiz talk in our house, and my dad was he always wanted to be an actor, but he had to keep the lights on, so he had to go to work every day and that kind of thing. So
So how did it all begin? What was your first foray? Was it like school plays, or was it just something that later and like after high school? How did that start?
It was after high school. I did a little bit of modeling in my teens, but it wasn't really until I married and moved to Florida. And at that
Oh, wow.
time, we had a lot of commercials, not big National Union commercials in Central Florida, which is where my husband's born and raised. And like Disney and Universal and SeaWorld and Busch Gardens in Tampa, my husband encouraged me, and I had always wanted to do it, but there just really wasn't anything in Gastonia, in film and TV. So there was a talent agent in Winter Haven. We lived in Lake Wales, which is right in the center of the state. And Winter Haven is between Lake Wells and Lakeland, if you've ever heard of Lakeland. But Winter Haven is where Legoland is. Anyway, her name was Pinky somebody. Anyway, she had a talent agency, and she had acting teachers come in. And I just started taking classes because I was having children at that time and starting a family, and needed to have some kind of creative outlet. I knew that because we
Of
were
course,
in a tiny town, and that was a big culture shock for me. And I come from a large Irish Catholic family, very colorful family. Everybody's a name, so it was quite an adjustment for me to move here. So that was a nice creative outlet. And then from there, I started taking classes in Tampa and Orlando, and I really enjoyed, just going 1 or 2 days a week, to the city, to the bigger city, and meeting different people and interesting people, and having that creative outlet and just learning. And I immediately started going out on stuff, and the doors opened, especially in the commercial market. And I did a lot of print work because I knew that I was photogenic, and I did a lot of print work for a long time, just lifestyle print, because I'm only 5'4". Obviously, not going to do editorial stuff, but and like my kids were into it, and we just had a blast. And then I think in the early 90s, I booked a recurring role on an Aaron Spelling series that shot up in Jacksonville, which is in North Florida, and I'm in Central Florida. And my kids were still in elementary school, and my daughter is very independent, Caroline, but my son Beau, my baby, was a mama's boy, and it was hard for him. And I wasn't even gone that much, but I felt torn because I couldn't like drive up and drive back. It was 3.5, 4 hour drive. So, but that opened up a lot of doors for me. Brenda Hampton was the writer, and she was the creator, and she actually created Seventh Heaven, if you remember that show with Jessica.
What was the name of the Aaron Spelling show that you booked?
Safe Harbor, and it starred Gregory
Oh,
Harrison.
yeah, I've heard of
You
that.
remember Gregory Harrison? And I played his love interest, Claire, the owner of the diner, and he was the local sheriff. And Rue McClanahan played his mother.
Oh,
Mickey Rooney was
yes.
in it. I just love him. And Gregory's character had these adorable three sons. So it was kind of, it was similar to that show. You're probably too young, but in
My
my
three
age,
sons.
my three sons.
I interviewed Stanley.
Cool. I mean, I love that show. I grew up on that show. So anyway, it had that kind of vibe. It was a family show with a younger audience. And unfortunately, the WB put us opposite Monday Night Football at 9 p.m. And we needed an 8 p.m. slot because our audience, they were in the bed,
I know,
But
yeah.
we did really well, and the ratings were going up, and Gregory had moved his family to Jacksonville. Rue had bought a condo, and it was looking really good. And Aaron Spelling actually handpicked me to play his love interest. And I'll tell you a little story. The first time the auditions came around for the part of Claire, the owner of the diner, to be his love interest. The certain casting director in South Florida, not Lori Wyman, wouldn't read me because she said Susan is not sexy enough for a WB show.
Oh, that's
My agent said, "What are you talking about? You know, sometimes people just get an image, and she knew my kids, so she saw me as his southern sweet mom. I don't know, but she was wrong."
But
And
even just a weird sentiment to say not sexy enough for a WB show.
yeah, well, back in the
That's a
day, like 90210.
90210, but
Yeah,
but
some of those. Anyway, they didn't cast it. And so they fired her and they hired Michael Stark to cast. And he wanted to see me. And Aaron Spelling picked me. So it was just meant to be. And Gregory
that's
Harrison,
awesome.
he was very generous. And I learned a lot from him. I still love that guy. He's great. But we did one season, and then and they pulled the plug. It just wasn't meant to be, but it opened up doors for me in Los Angeles. And so the kids and I would start going to LA every pilot season, from
Nice.
usually like February to May, sometimes a little longer. And we just had a blast. We lived at the Oakwood Apartments. My kids went to the Studio Academy School from 9 to 12, and thankfully, their private school that they went to in Winter Haven, All Saints Academy, would work with us every year, and they would fax their tasks and homework
That's
or whatever
awesome.
out there. And then the teachers at the academy would help them, and then we'd fax it back. And I mean, their grades always went up because they didn't have all the busy work. And I mean, my son, who was a very, very, very rambunctious little boy, he would do his math sitting in the kitchen cabinet at Oakwood, because he had really cool teachers, and they're like, "Yeah, Bo, go over there in the cabinet and do your homework." And so it was very out of the box, and it was great for my kids. And my daughter ended up going to college all 4 years, Loyola Marymount in Los Angeles, and they
Oh,
still have a
wow.
lot there. So it was a good experience for us. And I booked some jobs, but never anything that was a game changer where I could say to my husband back in Florida working, "Hey, I can support a household out here. We're staying." So we would always come back, but it was great, and the kids loved it.
Yeah, it seems like fun, a little like vacation for the kids, and you're there for pilot season. So was that your first credit? Because sometimes the IMDb is never right, but they have like early on like Cop and a Half. Were you in Cop and a
Oh,
Half?
yeah, Cop and a Half Out. And that was directed by Henry Winkler, and it
Because that's like
starred,
5 or 6 years before, so that's
Burt
awesome.
Reynolds. Yeah. And that really, somebody else has mentioned that over the years, that the gaps in my resume. And I did focus on the kids.
Yeah,
That was my priority.
yeah.
And I did that until my youngest was 21 years old. So I've
Yeah, and
just
then you're
really
like, you
been
know what? I can
pushing
get back
hard.
to it. Yeah, no, I hear
Yeah,
you.
yeah. So there's a lot of gaps there, but yeah, I booked that. I was the ex-wife of Burt Reynolds' character, so that was cool. And then, if you know who Roger Corman was, he was sort of
Yes. Oh,
like
yeah. I
the
love Roger Corman.
king of the indie world back in the day. I booked a movie, Peter Tors, if you know who that is. He, God
Yeah.
bless him, he cast me in that. J. Aubrey, I think is his name, was one of the producers, and I reminded Peter of his mother who had passed away, and we had a great relationship. And that movie was called Looking for
I
Trouble,
have it up right
and
now.
I
Oh my
oh
God,
my
my
God.
God. My daughter would love that movie.
I
A kid
played the
has an
mom.
elephant? That's awesome.
Yes, the little girl who is trying to save the elephant trouble from the battle, circus guy. It was a cute family film.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know what? Funny, I clicked on it. The trivia for that is you.
What?
You're the trivia question on
Yeah.
that movie. It says
Are you
Susan
serious?
Gallagher's debut. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's
Thank you
Roger
so much
Corman
for
movies.
warming. I didn't know that. That warms my heart because, I didn't really have much experience. I had done I had done a lot of student films. You know, that's what how you a lot of people get started is they do student
Yeah.
films, and they would do friend being I'd be in some of my friends' little short films and that kind of thing, just trying to learn and to build a little bit of a library of footage. So yeah, I have good memories of that experience.
Yeah, that's the only way you can do it. It's like even for a regular job, it's like, a kid goes, I'm sure your kids experience this. You go to school for 4 years and then they're like, hey, you need experience. Like, how do you get experience? You have to gain it. So I've talked to so many people in the beginning, like whether it be in film school or if they're just taking acting classes or yourself, and it's like, all right, who's shooting something? It's like, hey, I'll be the camera operator for this one. And yeah, no, that's the only way to do it. That's the only way you
It
can,
is. And then you
sharpen
do
your knife.
your own
Yeah.
movie, short film on your phone or whatever. And then you come and you be script supervisor or an actor in it. And that's how you also how you build your relationships, because this business is a lot about relationships.
No, yeah, no, especially with casting directors, they like you. They know,
Yeah.
hey, you know what? I need this
Person.
person that's not going to cause any trouble. They're going to get their
Right.
lines right. And that's
Yes.
why it's so funny. Whenever I interview casting directors and I look at their credits, some the principles are the same, but a lot of times it's the people on the like this lady Fern Champion, her fir she casted Stanley Tucci in like his first four movies, and like
Oh,
one
wow.
he's like man on loading dock, the other one he's like
Yes.
construction worker, and like they kept
Right.
moving up because he was
Yeah,
like
he's like her
obviously,
go-to guy.
yeah, you gotta
Yeah,
have those people
because
you can
he
trust.
knows what he can play, what he can do. He's dependable. He's not going to cause problems, and probably grateful for the work.
No, 100%. But that's cool. Cop and a half. So that was filmed in Florida, and they just look for local for some roles.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love when they do that for movies, because I think that's so neat. Like when they go to location, like okay, here's something we wrote in the script. We need somebody local for that part. And I'm
Yeah.
sure it was funny scene because his character was such like. I love that movie as a kid. That was like right in my wheelhouse. That
Well, you know
movie.
what they a lot of times now with the tax incentive stuff, they have it written into the
Oh, that's
agreement
true, yeah.
that you have to have, a certain percentage of local talent in this movie. Like, for example, I guess it was it a couple of years ago? Oh, I don't know what the time is. But anyway, seems like it was only a year ago, but it's probably a couple of years ago. I was in Rob Lowe's family film, Doggone, that movie about
Oh,
the dog.
yeah.
Based on a true story, and it starred obviously Rob, and he was also executive producer. And what is her name? Kimberly Williams Paisley, Brad Paisley's
I'm pulling it
wife.
up because I remember when that movie came out.
And it's a small role, but there are small. And I play the neighbor who's over there for dinner. And the guy who played my husband, he was like a lawyer from Colorado working, he's also an actor, working as a local hire. I'm working as a local hire. And I'm sitting right beside Rob Lowe at the dinner table and had a nice little scene that I can use on my demo reel, in a nice credit. So I'm glad that even though it would be nice to have more of the larger roles, given, us local talent, given the opportunity to audition for those, at least we're getting more and more, our foot in the door. And I do see it changing where we're offered more opportunities and bigger opportunities because the studios are seeing that there is a strong, talent base in the Southeast. And that they can trust us because time is money.
No,
And
yeah.
I mean, if I had like freaked out and thrown up on Rob Lowe's shoes or something at the dinner, that's gonna cost money. So then they would go, well, we're not hiring any local talent, but they know that they can trust us and that, we're not intimidated or starstruck or anything like that. We're professionals and we're gonna come prepared, right?
Yeah, you know what? I never thought about that, but that makes so much sense. If a state's going to give a tax incentive, obviously they want that money to help out the people that are in their own state. I never thought about that. That's really cool that they do that, because and I think it's great when they hire authentic. So if I'm watching, especially with like your accent, if I'm watching
Yeah.
something that's set in North Carolina or set in, in like The Judge with Bryan Cranston, a lot of the low, I'm sure they use a lot of local because a lot of those people had like, the New Orleans, Louisiana drawl in their
Right.
voice. Because when you watch
Yeah.
a show, or and you're like, okay, like you, I'm sure from North Carolina, if you watch something set in North Carolina and you heard somebody that's supposed to be a character that's lived there for 70 years and they sound nothing like somebody that would live there for 70 years,
Right.
you get like taken out of it. You're like, all right, well, this isn't authentic as I want it to
Right.
be.
Right. That's probably why, I have worked quite a bit in Georgia and in New Orleans. New Orleans has been a great market for
That's big
me.
too. I know an actor that moved to Louisiana because it's just been so good for him.
Well, I actually kept an apartment there for several months 1 year because number one, I wanted to get to know all the casting directors, and I was on Tremé,
Yeah.
that was on HBO, and my daughter actually had done two movies of the week in New Orleans, so she and I just had a great time living there.
That's the acting bug. Is she still doing it?
She's not, you know what? We after she graduated from LMU in LA, we rented the apartment in New Orleans, and she was working, she was doing good. And then we wanted to move to New York. I wanted to get really serious about studying, and there was a teacher up there named Zena Jasper that I wanted to study with regularly, and Caroline too, my daughter. So my husband let us move to New York, which is where I have always wanted to be most of the time. But
Huh.
and just we just absolutely loved it. And then as we finally came back home from New York, he was like, little girl, I can only afford one actress in this family, so you need to go get a job. Our real job. So we had our fun because my
Yeah,
daughter and
oh,
I
no, totally great
really well.
experiences.
Yeah, and we travel really well together. But she went back to school and got her master's in HR, and so she, but she knows that acting will always be there. She's a wonderful
Yeah,
actor.
no.
She's a
She
very
has her
natural.
mom as a testament that's the fact,
That's
Hey, you
right.
take time
That's
off
right.
if you love something, it'll come
Yeah.
through when you're in your acting class or you go for an
Yeah.
audition. Yeah, no,
Yeah.
that's awesome. And just the fact that she sees that as a role model, like, hey, if there's something that I love, it'll be there for me. So that's great.
Right. And occasionally a casting director that knows her will still call and see this or that. But she's pregnant now, so she's focused on
Oh,
that. But she
congrats.
called me the other day. She said, "Hey, Mom, tell Tracy that if she needs a pregnant woman, I'm a girl." So
Yeah,
she
look
has
at
a toe in the door, toe in the water or whatever. But it's all good. She knows it'll still be there.
Yeah, is that your first
Hopefully,
grandchild?
I'll be on the next level, and I'll be able to open some doors for her, and she won't have to
Yeah.
just
Why
hustle
not,
quite as
right?
hard as her mama's had to.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hustle. It's
No,
not
it
easy.
is. No, it
Yeah.
is. So like you said, you'd go out for pilot season. Obviously, that has changed in the 20, in the post-COVID
Yeah.
world. Were you still doing that up until like 2019, still going out for
No,
pilot season or
my,
anything?
yeah, because when my kids got, what I did it until Caroline graduated from high school, I guess, in 2006. So Beau, my son, and I, we would still go out, and he graduated from high school in 2008. And
Okay.
then he went to school in Orlando. He stayed closer to home. And, I just was still in the mommy mode. And so I had to stay close to home to make sure that he didn't need me. And
Yeah.
so it wasn't until Caroline graduated and came back home, and my husband was like, that boy really doesn't need for you to go up to UCF once a week and blah, 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 blah. So that's when he said, go study, go to New York, go to New Orleans. I guess he was afraid he was going to be my next project, but I had a hard
Yeah,
nest, and I needed, a major, major break. Come on. And now I have dogs, and this is Misha. This was my
oh,
beloved acting teacher, Zena Jaspers. This was her baby. She didn't have any children, and she died in June.
oh,
And she left me her dog. He's 11,
oh
and
man.
the love of her life. And he had never been outside of the Upper West Side of New York City, and he travels all over the place because I'm all over the place. And
Yeah. Wow. So you ended up doing what you said earlier. I know you mentioned you went to New York, but so you went there. So how did you hear of her? Was it somebody that you worked with in Florida, like somebody you worked
No,
with or an acting
it was the
teacher?
craziest thing. I was in a pretty famous, well-known school up there. I think HB Studios. I think that's where I was, and one of those big schools. And anyway, I was doing, I think, an improv class or something like
Nice.
that. And there was this guy, Michael, and it was his turn to perform, whatever, sides he had been given, and he blew me away. Could not believe it. I mean, this was a big class, so after class, I just grabbed him. I was like, "How did you do all that? Who are you talking to?" And he told me, he said, "Xena Jasper." And she had had a class. She studied under Stella Adler, and she had had a
Okay.
class for over 40 years in New York City, a very successful class. And so I met her, and she became not only my acting teacher, but my mentor and my dear, dear friend. And we were friends for a long time. And I had always loved Misha. I mean, it got to the point where when I gave up
My
my apartment in
apartment.
New York, I would go out once a month, and I would always just stay with her. And so
Oh.
Misha loves me, and I love him. And I was with him when she died. And
Oh man, that's such an amazing connection. Just from
yeah,
seeing that guy and
yes, we're still
you know, some
acting.
people wouldn't even have the courage to walk up to somebody and be like, oh, where did you learn that? So you walk up
Well,
and then look at that. That's wild.
she changed my life. She really did. I mean, Dan Bright up in Orlando is a wonderful acting coach too that I've used for 20 years. But Xena really, she gave me the confidence that I needed because, here's this tough gal that grew up in the Bronx and, lived in New York her whole life and, done stage and just, so well respected and knowledgeable. And as I knew that she would not blow smoke, up my butt ever. She's brutal. And and she believed in me yet until I could believe in myself. And she taught me to trust myself and really to be open and free because I always would hold back a little bit. I do a good job, but I'm still hold back a little bit, just that fear of vulnerability, and she got me past that. And, if I'm in a bad place still, that's what happens is I will hold back a little bit. That fear will sneak in, and I have to try to, stay open like she taught me, right?
It's true. That's the hardest thing. Like when you're on a stage or all those people are looking at you, whether on set
Yeah,
or on
getting your
stage. Yeah. No, I hear you. So that was like, so I'm guessing timeline wise, this is like 2009, 2010-ish that you're in New York with her. Because if
Yes.
you look at her IMDb, it obviously because you're being a mom, you're doing the right thing, and then everything like picks up again. So
Yeah.
was that a lot of local stuff like in New York? Like things like Breakout Kings, The In-Betweeners,
Okay,
Tremé. Was that in New
Breakout
York or is
Kings,
that
no,
local?
Tremé, Breakout Kings, that was all Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
Strange Weather that I did opposite Holly Hunter, that was
Oh, yeah, see that on here
cast
too.
out of Louisiana, but we shot in Jackson, Mississippi. And then Walkaway Joe with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and David Strathairn, that was in New Orleans. So I've worked there quite a bit. But what I have done too, in addition to working in the southeastern market, the regional markets, I have self-submitted, Doug, because you cannot wait for your agent, especially when you're in a regional market. You can't wait
Yeah.
for your agent to try to create a career for you. It takes way too long. So I self-submit. So I would go on actorsaccess.com, which is a self-submission site that's part of the breakdowns out of coming out of LA. And if you don't have even have an agent, you can self-submit on Actors Access. And I also self-submit on backstage.com. Backstage.com is more out of the New York area, and Actors Access has all over the country, and you can put in, the Southeast or New York or LA or whatever market you're in, and see if there's anything that fits your profile. And what I would do, especially after I had quite a few credits as I would sort of vet the director, the writer, see who they are. And you know, I was in a low budget indie film that I had self-submitted on, you know, that premiered at Sundance. So I got my first, you know, time to go to Sundance.
That is awesome. What was that called?
It was called Beast Beast, and it was executive produced by Alec Baldwin
Oh,
and
wow.
Madden from Atlanta, originally from Atlanta, wrote and directed, and just great. It was a great experience. And we shot in Atlanta in Danny Madden's parents' home where he grew up. So it was a very low budget thing, but it was a labor of love. And, you know, it was a great experience. And I mean, we went to Sundance. And
That's
if you've ever
awesome.
heard of a guy named Jim C. Cummings, if you haven't, you need to look him up because
Jim C. Cummings?
yes, he wrote and directed and starred in Thunder Road, which is like this phenomenal movie that won at Sundance, like the year before Beast Beast premiered there. And Jim C. Cummings is friends with Danny Madden that wrote and directed Beast Beast. And so Jim C. Cummings is one of the producers of that. And that was one of the reasons why I thought, oh my gosh, I gotta get on this because that's that Jim C. Cummings guy. You start meeting these people that are crazy talented. And yeah, I mean, I've done, I can't tell you how many indie films in the Northeast through backstage.com. And then what happens is these people are really talented. And you know, like I did a short film called Windblown by Katie Vincent and Usher Morgan, who were like up and coming in New York City. They're both crazy talented. And now, you know, they got the green light to do a feature film. And they just cast me, direct casting. And so I went up into, we shot it in Rhode Island, and now it's in post-production and
Wow.
probably going to do really, really well at Tribeca.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you know, you have to be proactive and you know, make your opportunities. If you're not given the opportunities, you have to create them, right?
Yeah. And the connections, like you said, that relationships are what this business is about. And that's so cool that, you were there doing this indie film and then they get the opportunity, and then it's kind of like a repaying. Obviously, you're great at what you do, and they want to work with you again, but it's cool that they did that. That's great. Rhode Island, beautiful.
I did a it's like a proof of concept called Pickleball is Life. It's a comedy
I see
about
that on here. I was
pickleball.
going to ask about
Oh
that. Yeah,
my
that's
gosh.
interesting.
My character is this outrageous evangelical Christian woman who is a diehard competitor. Her name is Magnolia, and she will do anything to win at pickleball. It's so funny. And I actually got some notices today that it's doing really well on the festival circuit. And you know, I hope that thing goes somewhere because it is hilarious. Not just my character, but yeah, there's Catherine Curtin is in it. If you know who Catherine Curtin is from Stranger
I probably,
Things,
if I
and
saw her.
you totally went. It actually, I got that role because of Catherine Curtin. I met her on the set of that feature film that I did with Usher Morgan and Katie Vincent. She was the name on that movie that we did in Rhode Island. And you know, we talked and we chatted because I love to support women in film, and I wanted to meet her. And you know, we're kind of about the same age. And when I got the straight offer for the pickleball thing, my agent Tracy just got something out of the blue. She said, "You know, this pickleball movie or pilot?" And I said, "No." And she says, "Read more." And it had starring Catherine Curtin. I said, "Starring Catherine Curtin? I didn't know she knew my name." And she did.
Yeah.
She, you know, they asked, "Do you have anybody? You know, do you know any actresses that you think would be good for this part?" And she remembered my name. And that's how they, you know, sent my agent a direct deal. And I was like, yeah,
There's some
I'll do
good people in
anything
that.
Catherine Burton is in.
Yeah, no, she's great. No, I definitely, after looking at her, she was on Stranger Things, but Sharon Lawrence too. That's pretty, yeah.
And what's the other one? Joanna Day. Joanna Day, who was like the she was a series regular, a strong guest recurring on one of those, was it one of those House of Cards or something like that? And then David Lansbury, who's Angela Lansbury's nephew,
Oh, that's cool.
He was fabulous. And now we're doing there's a Christmas, another Christmas movie, and David is starring in it. It's the same director as the pickleball thing, and so I'm in that. David's in that. So
That's
we're
awesome.
recycling all these people because we work well together. Everybody's got great energy and happy to be there. And it's all good.
Yeah, that's like the Roger Corman thing. If you watch it, if you look at a lot of those Roger Corman movies, he would have like he would use mostly the same directors, and you'd see
Yes.
the same cast just in different roles. Like maybe like the two principal would be different, but everybody else would be like a familiar face. It was like a great way
Yes.
to do it. Now, is pickleball insane by you? Did it take over? Because in New Jersey, it's like everywhere.
I know. I started taking private lessons when I booked that job.
Of course, yeah,
And
you gotta.
of course. And I loved it because I used to play tennis, and this is, a
Yeah.
lot more fun than tennis, and it's easier as you get older. And I haven't
Yeah,
played
100%.
I've not played since, but I need to find a partner or somebody else who wants to go and do it too. Because it
Yeah,
is a
no,
lot of
it's taken over. Even here in New
I know,
Jersey,
I was
like
up at
people are
Queens, but they're up in
waiting.
Tampa. They're 2 hours away, and that's all they do is they want to play pickleball all the time.
What would you say like at the at yeah, obviously you're working your like I would say like notoriety wise, like name wise, Cobra Kai, that's
Yeah.
like a monster show to be on. And
Huge.
it's so whatever it's so funny after talking to you, because obviously you are very beautiful. And the fact that you
Oh,
say
thank
that like you did the print modeling and the commercials, it's like I always think it's so funny because just seeing the person that plays the role of somebody that's like a homeless
But
person, like a bug, it's kind of funny, but it's how did that come about? Was that just a local? Because they shoot, that's all shot in Georgia, which isn't far.
in Atlanta. Yeah, and I actually have a home in Georgia, so I am
Oh,
a
nice.
true local hire. I've got a lot of family in the Atlanta area, but anyway, that was a self submission, Doug,
Oh,
because
really?
none of my agents would have ever submitted me for this filthy, disgusting homeless woman ever. But I knew that I wanted that role because I needed to bust out of that little teeny tiny box that the business had put me in, and they put most of us in. And it was
Oh,
up to me to do that. So I had actually self-submitted on Backstage.com for a short film called Picking Back Up, where I played the role of this drug addict woman who's being evicted from her house, and her husband died from an overdose, and she is just really spiraling downward, and she's very feisty. And Wesley a Eldridge booked me on that, and that was the first opportunity I had to play some kind of character type role, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do and what I would be best at. And so I'll always give credit to Wes Eldridge for that. And he flew me up to Richmond, Virginia. It was a great experience, and that gave me confidence. So I had just done that before I saw this on Actors Access for Cobra Kai, and so I did my vetting to see who was behind it. Is this worth it? Blah, blah, blah. And I saw the big three, John Hurwitz, Josh Heald, and Hayden Schlossberg. And, Josh Heald is Hot Tub Time Machine. And then John and Hayden are Harold and Kumar. I was like, okay, these guys know what they're doing. They're
Yeah.
like really talented. And then Ralph Macchio, William Zabka, and Martin Kove are all signed on. I thought, this would be huge. I'm submitting what I have to lose. So I have this buddy of mine, Bo Williams, who's been a lighting guy in the Southeast forever. He lived down the road from me. He came over, took some terrible headshots of me, like with dark underneath my eyes, and I whited out my lips, my eyebrows, and my hair was kind of like, back brushed. It almost, like a drug addict look. And then there was one where it looked like I'd, maybe been up all night long working at the Waffle House and, just down the thing, and almost unrecognizable. But anyway, I submitted that picture because all my other pictures were like pretty, I had a pretty picture for, and I got the audition from that picture because the casting director did not know me. That's the first, is when I'm looking on Actors Access and I'm like, homeless woman Lynn. Who's a casting director? Because most of them would go, ha ha, Susan Gallagher. Yeah, forget it. He didn't know me. So I got past him. And I had the best time with the audition, just laughed. And I mean, I, you know, threw a piece of paper at somebody's foot and said, finish up and then beat it. This is mama.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And then I got the call back and I was like, oh man, what am I going to do? And my family's like, well, you got to go in full character. Cause I had worn my husband's big beat up sweatpants and, you know, I had a toboggan on my head. I looked bad for the audition. And, so I went, I had to drive to Atlanta. I was up in Asheville, North Carolina, where we live a part of the year. And I had to go meet the big three. And I walked in character. I did. And, you know, I did my thing. And they gave me a little bit of an adjustment. I think I took it really well. And I knew John Hurwitz liked me because he kept smiling at me. But Josh and Hayden were harder to read. But as I'm walking out, Hayden Schlossberg looks at me and he says, well, you know, we got to do something about those teeth. Because, you know, they paint my teeth brown. They're straight up rotten. And I said, bring it. You know, so I wanted to be friendly because I love talking to the writers, but I stayed in character the whole time. And I got the part.
That is an amazing, that is up there. I love audition stories. And that was so cool. That you showed up that way and threw on the paper. I think my favorite story ever, I'm sure you've heard this one before, but maybe people listening haven't. I think I mentioned it before, but the audition for Taxi for Danny DeVito. Have you ever heard that story?
I don't remember.
So he walks in, and I think the greatest thing about the audition was he didn't even read the script. He was just Louis De Palma. He walked in, he sat on a stool, he thumbed through it, and then looked at everyone and said, who wrote this shit? And he threw it and he walked out. And then he got the part from it. And like he was known at that point because One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest on Broadway and then the movie. So people knew him, but they were like, what to do? Because he told the story in an interview. And he said, I'm walking down and I'm like, I can't turn around now because I already did this. And he ran after him and they're like, oh, you're Louis. You're Louis. And then he got the role. But I love that's so cool. You showed up.
It's a big risk, you know?
Oh, yeah. You never know. Somebody would be like, hey, I love this, what I wrote. Even though I know you're a character, like somebody could take offense to that. Were there other people that you saw waiting to go in? Were they dressed up?
Not like I was.
I love that. That's even better.
I mean, I was almost unrecognizable, you know, just awesome. Like when it's unrecognizable. Yeah, that's how crazy I am. I'm in my car. And when I park, because what I had to do, I drove in regular clothes, so, you know, I could go into Starbucks or whatever.
Yeah, and so you don't get kicked out.
Yeah, I stopped at this grocery store, and I mean, the casting facility, the studio's not in a great area, so it was a little sketchy. I go in this Kroger or some grocery store, and I go to the bakery department, and I tell the girls, I say, listen, I have an audition, I have a callback, Cobra Kai, I'm going to go in the bathroom, I'm going to change clothes, and then I'm going to come back out, so don't let them arrest me or anything. Okay. And then I got some of those little, you know, the little papers you pick up the donuts with or a cookie?
Yeah.
A couple of those put in my pocket because I threw those later. When I was in the audition, awesome. It wouldn't hurt anybody, right? But it gave me something difficult to do. So anyway, when I got back in my car dressed and I went to the casting facility and I saw a security guard, I had to go to him. And I said, you look at me. I'm going in for a callback as this woman. And you let me back in my car. He said, okay. You look great. Because he wouldn't let me in that car. He'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm calling the police. So it was just safe. But anyway, what I was going to tell you, this is embarrassing almost. Because I hardly ever eat sugar, you know, because I have a thing with sugar. I can't stop. I bought a Hershey bar, and I'm trying to smear brown on my teeth so they wouldn't be so pretty. Of course, by the time I got in there, I licked it all off. But I just tried not to be friendly or flirty or anything like that, right? I just, Lynn, sassy.
I love that. That's great. Have you had any other roles? Like, because it seems like, especially that you mentioned, I'm sure that's what you learned. And did you learn that in Florida or in New York acting? Like having something physical to like make you feel more like the character? Like when I took improv, it was like, all right, if I'm going to play an older guy that's in his 70s, like walk with a limp or something to like But that's great that you thought of grabbing the donut wrappers, because that's
Yes.
something like physical, you know?
Yeah. And you know, and I didn't like throw it at the reader that was standing beside the camera. I threw it at his feet, you know, because you know, I don't want to be that person that it hurts them. Itching, right? So, but you know, I did Loki. I played another badass, use the language, character in the third episode of season one of Loki, Marvel's Loki, opposite Tom Hiddleston. I don't know if you are a Marvel fan or not, but you know, she's a tough character. I don't look as bad in Loki as I do in Cobra Kai, but I mean, I blast him. I've got this futuristic gun, and she's this tough homesteader, and the planet that she lives on is being destroyed, and she's like going down the ship. She's the last one that survived. She outsurvived her husband and everybody. So she is tough as nails. So, you know, and you know, I think just playing Homeless Lynn and the casting community, knowing that I can go there, help them to see me in that kind of role. And I was just so thrilled when I got it. I mean, it was surreal, you know, being on a set like that. Had never
Where's that based out of? Is that
in
in
Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, it's just unbelievable what they do. I mean, it's just on such a huge level that it was, you know, I couldn't believe they were paying me to do it. It really is like, oh my gosh, it was so fabulous. Yeah.
That is awesome. That's cool. Somebody gave you an opportunity that they could see. Like, obviously, you know you're versatile, but sometimes people are like, yeah, we're not gonna let you do that. Even though, like, the you know you can nail a particular different type of
Yeah.
role, but yeah, no, that's awesome. That's what they do. They paint people in a corner. I think it's always like back in the day, the old model was, okay, if you're an actress and you hit 30, you're gonna be a mom from now on. But
Right.
the guy is going to be keep aging, and he's always going to have a 25-year-old wife or girlfriend, and it's
Oh
like
yeah,
so
always 20-year
ridiculous.
Johnson.
And
Yeah.
yeah, so
But you know, what
silly.
is it? You know, one role for women from for five versus five roles for men or something like
I
that.
know, yeah.
It might be getting better though, because we're starting to have more female writers and female directors, and
Yeah.
I think it's getting a little bit better.
No, it's yeah, no, it's true. No, it's just insane that when you look back on some things, like how different it is. But you're right. No, it's definitely getting for the better. So one role, and I don't know where it was filmed because I haven't seen it yet, but I want to see it because I like the original one. So you're in How High 2
I
with
am. You're
DC
asking
Young
so many
Fly.
different questions than I normally get asked, which is kind of fun. So good for
Yeah,
you.
no, I like asking people more about. It's not like I want to talk about one specific scene or anything. I think it's always interesting to go like across the whole journey of someone's career,
Yeah.
especially like in the beginnings, because people don't think about that unless you're sitting on set or you're talking to somebody. It's very rare that you're being asked about like, hey, how did it all begin? You know, because that's not usually something to talk about. But yeah, so How High too, is that something local too?
You know what? I was in Atlanta. I had been doing Cobra Kai, and my agent, AMT, Jason Lockhart, AMT, called and said, "Are you still in town?" I said, "Yes." And they said, because the casting director for How High 2 is looking for a professional, reliable actress to come in and do one scene with the star, and you're startled when you see him tied up underneath the booth at the. What in the In-N-Out Burger, but it was one of those, because I wish we had In-N-Out Burger, but it was one Crystal Burger. I can't remember the name of the hamburger joint anyway. And then I screamed bloody murder. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. They were gonna pay me good money. And so I went, and you know, people saw me kind of sit in the background, you know, just kind of waiting around. They're like, what's that shit doing here? Few shit. But and then all of a sudden, you know, they call for the screaming lady, and I go in there and I get my tray, and then I go and I sit down, I start to eat, and then I look and I see this the star, the guy tied up underneath the booth, and I have had people, I've never even seen it, to be honest with you. But since I've had people contact me going, that was the best scream ever. And I
That's
was like,
great.
good to know. Isn't that funny?
You never know what people are going to remember you for. Like, I'm sure, like, so many people
I
are like,
ask that. I mean, you know,
this is so much fun.
I have, right now, before we start running out of time, I just wanted to give a plug for Fast Charlie, starring Pierce Brosnan. We shot that in New Orleans, and I saw today that it's number one in the UK, and it's rising here. It's on Prime Video. It's called Fast.
Oh, nice. I gotta watch that. Great cast.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. And yes, it's a mobster movie set in the South, but it's not like a blood and guts kind of mobster movie. I mean, it did really well on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, it was very fresh and all of that. And because it's not gory, it's actually has a lot of humor. And of course, Pierce Brosnan is charming in everything he does. And Marina Vaccarin is also the female lead.
Yeah, and she's great.
Yeah, and the late, great James Caan is in it.
Yeah, that must have been one of his last movies.
It was his last movie. So it was, you know, it was really special, and you just felt so honored to be part of that project. So I feel
you're pretty high up on the list. I don't know if that's something that you look at, like when you do a movie.
I do. I think maybe that was by Star Meter ranking or something. I don't know. Some of them, they do by appearance. Sometimes they do it by Star Meter. But Philip Noyce, who is the amazing Australian director who did Clear and Present Danger and Salt.
Oh,
and
wow.
Wonderful, wonderful movies, was the director. And I would follow him anywhere. He's so fabulous. He's like teaching a master class when he is directing. He's so knowledgeable, and he's so generous with his knowledge that all of the local cast and crew, like myself and everybody else from the Southeast and the New Orleans market, we are just, you know, trying to act like a sponge and soak everything in, and I just adored him.
That's awesome. Now you gotta watch that. I gotta see that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Pierce.
Yeah, yeah, he's wonderful. And then I've got A Taste of Love is on the Hallmark Channel and on Peacock. And that is, you know, it's a Hallmark movie. So I am very recognizable in that one. And Martin Cove from Cobra Kai plays my husband. We're this happy married couple. And his son, Jesse Cove, is the male lead opposite Aaron Cahill, who's very popular on the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
And it's an adorable movie. It's about family and romance and love and cooking and food and beautiful cinematography of Florida. And it's aired on the Hallmark Channel several times. And I just saw it today. It's coming back, I think, April 3rd on Hallmark. And I'm not quite sure when it's going to be on Peacock. It may still be on Peacock all the time, but it's called A Taste of Love.
That is awesome.
It's funny to see me, three cast members of Cobra Kai, me, Marty, and Jesse, in such different roles than all three have been in Cobra Kai. So I think the fans they're getting a big kick out of that.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. It's funny when you look at the headshots, like people can choose their own headshot on IMDb. Yeah. Like Marty's is from like 70s. He has like the Travolta dimple chin, and his son is doing like the same pose the opposite way, but that is really cool. Yeah, and Marty Cove's like one of those guys.
I've noticed a lot of people, even women who have been in the business for a long, long time, will use a headshot from years ago.
Yeah.
I've noticed that, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Marty Cove, man. Good for him. I'm happy for all those guys. Obviously, everybody in the cast and yourself, but it's always cool when people are kind of not like typecast, but you have Ralph Macchio. He just like most young kids, even though he wasn't a kid at that point, he just looked like a kid in all those movies. Because in the third one, he was almost like, he was almost 30. Like he's older than the bad guy. Zabka, but the other guy with the slick back hair, he has the ponytail.
What's his real name? It's Terry Silver in the show.
I should know his real name, but Terry Silver is like the greatest bad guy ever. He is like so ridiculous. But so one question I always love, this has been so much fun. So like when you're in the, it's so hard in the moment to remember, hey, this is something that I want to remember forever. Here's an item. Did you keep any mementos over the years from set? And especially just talking to you, just like, I don't know if you had your script from like Cop in the Half or anything from, especially like Safe Harbor. Did you ever keep anything?
I usually try to keep one of the scripts, and back in the day, years ago, we used to always, before we'd wrap, we'd have everybody sign it. I've not seen that done too much anymore. A lot of times now they'll try to get like a set photo, that kind of thing. For Homeless Lynn, I have quite a few things, and I've had fans send me things. I have a two or three bobblehead dolls of Homeless
Oh my
Lynn.
gosh.
I know I had this like knitted little doll of Lynn, and she's got like dirt on her face and this wild hair, and I just got birthday gifts from this little boy named Julian, who's 8 years old. His name
Oh.
is Misa. They've been Cobra Kai fans, and he's been one of my biggest fans since he was tiny. And instead he got me this cute card. It's on my social media, Susan Gallagher on
Oh, I gotta check that
Instagram.
out. That is
Yeah,
awesome.
and it's got this cute card, and then he got me the two pair of little earrings and a necklace, and his mom,
Wow.
Misa, made me a bracelet with the S on it. And so sweet, just so thoughtful, and I've just really, I think that's been my biggest thrill and blessing, is to engage with the fans and to meet so many
Yeah.
really interesting and good people.
The one rarity that makes social media good. You
Yes.
know, because you know how people feel. Like back in the day, like not even that long ago, it's so funny. Like people, like kids now probably think, like, oh, social media's been around forever. It
Hasn't
hasn't
been
never been to this
there.
point. But like you do a movie back in the day, you do
Yeah.
your movie, you rap on it, and maybe it gets out within the next year. And then you
Yeah.
work on the next movie. You never really know unless you go to see it and you're in a theater with other people enjoying it.
Yes.
You don't really know, like, hey, people really enjoyed my scene or people enjoyed me. You know,
Right.
unless you're on stage and you're doing theater, then you know right away. You
Yeah.
get that instant gratification. But I
Yes.
think that's one thing that's great about social media. For a lot of people that I've interviewed that maybe stopped acting in the 80s or the 90s, and then
Yeah.
they have this resurgence. Like this guy George Buza, he was a vo he did a bunch of 80s stuff. He was in like sequels, but he was the voice of Beast on X-Men, the cartoon. It was
Yeah.
really cool. The new cartoon just came out,
Yeah.
and I didn't even know this, but the guy who the Kevin Feige, I think his name, he said, if we're gonna do that show, we want all the original cast members. So George is working on the show that he worked on in the 90s, and I think that's so amazing. Because
Fantastic.
he
I
wasn't
love
working
it.
that much right now. I think
Yeah.
that's amazing.
I
So
know.
cool.
I love that story. I love that. That's
Yeah.
fantastic.
And they
Yes.
cast him in the X-Men movie. I'm trying to think who directed the X-Men movie. I feel like the guy got in trouble for some stuff, like not being a good guy. But anyway, when they were doing the casting, George went for an audition to be the truck driver who dropped off Wolverine. And the casting director goes, dude, we got to cast this guy. And he's like, why? He's like, dude, he's the voice of Beast from the cartoon. And they're like, all right, this would be like good luck. We're going to cast you. And like,
Yes.
I love
Yeah.
like little things like that. So, Susan, I'm
Fantastic.
so happy we connected. This was a lot of fun. I loved hearing your story, you know, and I love the fact that your kids, and obviously your husband was along for the journey, but I love
Yeah.
the fact that you were going out for pilot season. And it was cool for your kids being on like a little vacation and going to school. That's neat.
Well, and it gave them an opportunity to broaden their horizons, because
Yes. Oh,
we live
yeah.
in a very small town, with all of my husband's family, which has been wonderful because they've got tons
Yeah.
of cousins. But it's very rural, and it just they are comfortable being around lots of different types of people, which was important to me. And
100%.
yeah, know how to drive on the 405 and survive.
Yeah.
I'll just throw it out there. 16, just don't get in a wreck.
Yeah,
So
no, heck
they
yeah.
loved it. It was a great experience for us.
No, you did it right. Me and my wife went to school in state in Jersey, and one day we just, hey, let's move to Oregon. And we moved to Oregon for like 3 years in our late 20s. And it was like the greatest experience because we were, you know, we were like, we knew no one. And it was the best because you had to like, it was like fight or flight, whatever that phrase is, but you know what I mean? Like fail or fly or fail or one of those. But yeah, no, that's great that you did that for your kids and they'll appreciate that. And you know what's going to happen? They'll do that for their kids and so on and so forth. So you start like, it's the only way you can change, you know, the family makeup is just getting, so that's pretty neat, man.
Being open to travel, to new opportunities. And I think it's given them confidence, even at a younger age, to, you know, meeting people and going different places where you don't know where you're going or know anyone there. And I just always wanted my kids to be able to adapt to whatever environment they may find themselves in.
Yeah, I'm sure your daughter takes that into HR from when she was on set meeting so many different people and working with 50 people. And yeah, no, I'm sure. Yes. But well, this has been great. So, Susan, this will be out in like a month or two. I'll let you know when. I'll shoot you an email. And yeah, thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Hey. All right, Doug. Thanks so much. Great meeting you.
Can you believe like she went into the bathroom and like warned everyone, like, I'm going to come out like looking different. Don't be freaked out. And then when she gets to the audition, she has to tell the security guard like, hey, I'm just doing this. Like, don't let me out. And then just within the audition itself and the way she was able to work through it during it and then eventually land the role, just her, her passion, her love for the biz. And she's going to do this forever. You can tell, you can hear it in her voice. And I love that. And I love that, that with the people that I interview, you can tell they love this business because it's not easy. You know, you can go to school and get a job and, you know, there's this path to do good at a job, boom, boom, boom. But this, you could be the best that there is. There's so many other things that have to fall in place for it to work. And Susan is a testament to loving what she does. You know, they always have that phrase, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. I believe that with Susan. So, Susan, thank you. And your homework, I know it's a few weeks late, but How High 2, free on Amazon Prime. And D-Ray Davis, he's going to blow you away. You might not, maybe you won't like the movie. I don't know. But he crushes in this movie. With some of the, my one of my favorite comedic performances in a movie that overall isn't like one of my favorites, he would make me want to watch it again or watch his scenes. Like, that's how good he is. So don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast, follow us on all social media at Sequels Only, and don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys.